This is Health Unabashed on Healthcare Now Radio, a show that spotlights and features promising health and wellness innovations in pursuit of a sustainable and equitable healthcare delivery and financing system. Hosted by digital health advocate, author, and thought leader Gil Bash, the show looks at the thought-provoking ideas, people, and companies that are making a difference. I'm Greg Masters, the producer and co-host of the show, and join Gil as we engage top industry talent who share their insights and best practices to create sustainable change. On today's show, our guest is Frank Westerman, co-founder and co-CEO of 9AM Health, a startup health portfolio company offering virtual diabetes clinic services headquartered in San Diego, California. And with that brief introduction, Gil, over to you.
Greg, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And this is a really important conversation today with Frank Westerman, who's the founder and CEO of 9AM Health. We're going to talk more about this with Frank and more about 9AM Health. It's important for people to recognize that people who have a chronic a lifelong health condition, it's time we stop looking at them as patients and recognizing that they're always people. And in fact, when you're connected to a chronic health condition like diabetes or high blood pressure or respiratory condition, asthma, for instance, you're a customer. You're a customer of the health system. And it's a high time that the system start looking at these people, millions and millions of people, as not numbers in health files, rather as people they want to engage as partners in their health. And Greg, you know more about that than anyone. So thank you for joining me today as your expertise in population health. Frank, welcome to the program. It's great to have you. It's great to have you and also have Jamie Edwards, who's a previous guest on our program from Startup Health, recommend you so highly. Anyone who Jamie recommends has to be fantastic. And we've been chatting for a bit before the program. You are fantastic. You're a longtime entrepreneur. You had a company which you sold to Roche called My Sugar. It all stems from life, your life experience. And I understand that you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when you were 19 years old. I understand a few years have passed since then.
A few years. And Jill, thank you so much for inviting me to your show. So, and with that introduction, you kind of put the expectation bar high. So I'm trying to do my best, you know, to meet.
Jamie said you're going to be outstanding. He said you're going to be outstanding. And I could tell from our conversation previously and from watching you in other programs, you are in the game. This is not just about business for you. I would say you are a person on a social mission to make sure that the patient experience actually is transformed into a customer experience. And I want to start there for a moment because we overuse this word patience all the time. You think of people who have a chronic health need concern as customers. And you also see their experience in a positive light. Where did that come from?
Most likely, you know, I mean, when you live with a chronic condition like I do, as you said, I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. You know, you go through all these phases and cycles of, you know, living with that disease, and you perceive all forms of care, good and bad. And too many times, you know, the experience just had been bad, you know, and especially when I talk to friends who live with other chronic conditions, also with diabetes, you know, we share a lot of these experiences. And I think, as you rightfully mentioned, you know, when we are seen as patients, it always means kind of we are almost begging for something. So, and, you know, whereas a consumer is someone who pays for something, has a right to get back a good, a service or whatsoever. And it's somehow, you know, I think we should translate that notion of being a consumer to the healthcare world. And because being a consumer also means, you know, you get a good service, you feel if you complain, you know, there's someone who listens and kind of acts on your complaint. And I think, you know, that's not just the normal kind of traditional how the traditional healthcare system is acting. But we are clearly about to change that.
Now, I'm kind of worried about this in a very serious way. You know, we sometimes people say naively that the consumer, the patient, is at the center of the health system. And I say, really? Or they say that the patient is king, the ruler of the health system. I said, what person sits in a waiting room waiting to be called, goes into another room, sitting on a bench waiting for a doctor to swoop in for 8 to 12 minutes of time, and really see the doctor almost like a checklist, and then has to go and negotiate with their payer, who pays for what and this and that, and can they get the product that the doctor recommended that they take for their condition? I said, it's almost as if people, the patient, the system would prefer that they all went away at times. And your business philosophy, both with My Sugar and now with 9 a.m. Health, is a radical shift of mindset that people who have health needs are in fact the customer of the system, and the system should engage them as if they are the most important aspect of the work. So I wanted to get into a little bit behind your business philosophy, but also if you can say, and I visited, and I recommend all our listeners visit the 9 a.m. Health website. It's a great site. It's unique. It's clear. It's easy to navigate. It talks about the services that you and your colleagues are providing, the types of both hands-on talk services, the products that are provided, the technology support. Before you went out publicly and you raised money and you created this successful concern, could you bring us back into the room when you were kind of thinking this through with your colleagues that you were going to launch a new venture called 9 a.m. Health, and why it was going to be different than My Sugar, which was really for the type 1 diabetes, why this was going to be different, why you felt it was needed, and why you felt that you could offer a unique service to millions of people who have diabetes?
Yeah, no, Jill, thank you so much for that question, because, you know, there are a few points. After we sold My Sugar and kind of we as a group, so my co-founders and I, we know each other for many, many years. We all worked together at My Sugar. And after we left Roche and My Sugar, we were, of course, you know, thinking about what to do next. And we really kind of made a list of points that were important for us as the next steps in our life. And, you know, besides of, you know, that we as a group wanted to continue to work together, we ask ourselves, where can we add most value to society? It sounds big, you know, but at the end of the day, that's how we thought about it. And so not only myself, but also my co-CEO Anton lives with type 1 diabetes as well. And diabetes and living with a chronic condition is just something that we really deeply understand. And we also understand, you know, how technologies evolved, how, you know, especially through the pandemic, as how we as a society evolved to now being a lot more perceptive for anything digital. So we Zoom here and have and record that radio show. I'm not in your studio. We order everything online, and it also gets, you know, we are more and more used to just getting also our healthcare online in a more virtual way. So I think that's a great development. And when we, you know, as you mentioned, My Sugar was always more geared towards people with type 1 diabetes, but we had more than 50% of the user of My Sugar live with type 2 diabetes. And we always felt like, you know, we couldn't fully serve them, because type 1 diabetes is a very data-driven disease. So, and at My Sugar, we were mainly kind of in the data game, optimizing kind of how we display data and helping patients to better understand data to make better decisions. With type 2 diabetes, it's really a bit different. But there are also a lot of similarities, you know, with any chronic condition, because, you know, the worst about a chronic condition is it doesn't go away. So you will have it until the rest of your life. And then, you know, especially in diabetes, you know, it takes a lot of your brain capacity. You need to think a lot about it to make the right steps. You need to make the right food choices, you know, to think about kind of how to kind of manage your physical activity, because a very, very positive impact on your overall diabetes health. So it's a different disease. But, you know, there's one thing that probably every chronic condition kind of, or every person who lives with a chronic condition is sharing, and that is that it just takes a lot of time. And there are many, many, many friction points, you know. And as you were just mentioning, a person who waits long in a waiting room and then is waiting again because you need to do your labs, is waiting again because you want to pick up your meds and blah, blah, blah. So we see these all as friction points that kind of can make you basically fall out of that journey and just, you know, say, okay, I don't have time now to do my labs. I don't have the time now to pick up my meds. You forget it once, forget it twice, and then you totally drop out. And we see that actually a lot of time. I think, you know, that's something that's really misunderstood when we think about how to properly care and treat people who live with chronic conditions, because we don't really meet them where they are in their real lives. It's not that they don't want to be healthy, but we just make it really, really hard for them to be healthy and to stay on that care journey.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Health Unabashed on Healthcare Now Radio. Our guest is Frank Westerman, co-founder and co-CEO of 9AM Health, a startup health portfolio company offering virtual diabetes clinic services headquartered in San Diego, California.
You know, this seems, on one hand, what you're saying is so smart, so logical, and yet culture crushes innovation. The system, for some reason, I always say, you know who's the customer of the system? Not the people with the health concern. The system itself has become its own customer. And so the reason I think what you're saying is so critical, I hope people are really focusing in, because if we take a look at the cost of health or healthcare, it's actually, and we take a look at disease itself or illness itself, 70% of the serious health concerns we have in the world are from non-communicable diseases like diabetes, like heart disease. And yet we don't say these are lifelong conditions for the most part. They can be better managed or not well managed. And when we look at the cost involved, it's not from the disease, just the illness itself. It's actually our inability to inspire the consumer to really want to engage, to be their best, healthiest self. We don't, to your point, these friction points are predicated by a system, in many cases, resistant to change. Could you talk a little bit about that with us, about the types of specific friction points that you and your colleagues saw, and you said, you know what? They don't have to be. We can create an enterprise that handles that for our customers. And as a result of that, the outcomes are better. I just want to also cite to our listeners, many years ago, I was involved in two clinical trials. One was called the Diabetes Complication Control Trial 1 and the Diabetes Control Trial 2, DCCT 1 and 2. And those trials showed that people who had tighter control of their diabetes lived healthier 10 years longer than those that didn't. The data are their data. And you basically have said, let's put the data aside. Let's not deal with the data. Let's deal with the experience, the person's experience of having the condition as part of their life. So talk to me about those friction points and what you said. We're just not going to accept them any longer. We're going to create a business around helping people navigate through those friction points.
Yeah. You know, when we look at these friction points, we want to address two big friction points. So the first is accessibility. And with accessibility, I mean, just how can you basically live your life, but, you know, access healthcare in a way that it is really frictionless and that it is a good experience. And, you know, just to give you one example, how we do it at 9 a.m. Health is very simple. I think people like you and I probably, when we do need to do our labs, you know, we just, you know, or go, need to do, go to a doctor, we just book 2 hours in our Google Calendar, you know, do our doctor visit or, you know, check lab.
That's another crazy thing. This whole thing of going to a diagnostic center to get blood tests, when we should be going into a pharmacy and being able to deal with it there, it's a whole different issue for us.
Yeah, and you know, and but we can even go beyond that. And you know, what we do is just we ask our patients, okay, we have two options for you. We can send you, for example, a test kit at home. It's a dry blood spot test. You know, A1C levels, lipid panels can all be done that way. Or we just send someone to your house and he will, it's going to come and take your blood. So, you know, you don't need to, I don't know, take a day off or half a day off or some hours off or whatsoever. It's frictionless, basically integrated into your life. So, and it's, we make it really, really easy to fulfill that part of your patient care journey. So, that is just one example. So another example is we ship medications. You don't need to pick them up. You can online communicate with our doctors, with the care team. Also, you don't need to do a lengthy book appointment. Just check in. Just ask them. There will always be someone who is able to address your needs and concerns. And that's how we think we can really design a patient experience that is so good that you enjoy it, actually. And like to say, therapy compliant, and I think that's the best way to really help people to stay healthy.
So I, you know, I wanted to explore this with you because I really do believe that the way to help people, we can't change the diagnosis. Once someone's diagnosed with something, they're diagnosed with that. They have high blood pressure. They have high blood pressure. There are things they could do to lower that risk. Losing weight, for instance, exercise, primary prevention does make a difference for borderline hypertension. Diabetes, type 2 diabetes specifically, there's ways to improve the condition. But yet, I look at the struggle of people to engage around behavioral health, that you know, behavioral health companies are really trying to get traction into the future. You're not just a behavioral health company, though. You're doing so much more. I mean, you're really, I would almost say you're like the shopping center of the shopping center for people with diabetes. You need medication, great. You need meters, great. You need strips, great. You need to speak to a health professional, great. You need a challenge with dealing with your payer around something, great. You've really looked at the, as you said earlier, what are the full range of friction points that someone who has this chronic condition is going to face? Let us develop an enterprise that lowers the hurdles for people and keeps them happier and healthier. So I wanted to ask you, I don't want to get into other companies, but I know that there was another company that got into this space as well, large company, got a lot of headlines, a lot of attention, of course. You seem to be going at this in some ways the same, but in some ways very different. What you're a serial entrepreneur, Frank. You're heralded by investors, by Startup Health. When you looked at the landscape, you and your colleagues, and you said, okay, we're going to get into this field. You also sort of said, how do we take what is currently out there and make it a little different, make it a little better? What were some of the key concerns that you looked at?
No, first of all, you know, I think I don't really like this term serial entrepreneur because it somehow always sounds like, hey, you found a company and you sell it, you found the next one, blah, blah, blah. So as if, you know, we are on a manufacturing line, you know, but that's really not the case. You know, we 9 a.m. Health is my second company. And we, just like my sugar, you know, we founded a company not for the sake of founding a company and making money whatsoever, you know, that was almost a byproduct, you know, but we wanted to solve a real problem.
Money follows mission.
Absolutely. You know, that's my deep conviction. And, you know, it has been the case with My Sugar, and exactly will be the same case, we hope, with 9M Health, because we know we are solving a real problem. When I look at the patient who onboard into our service, you know, these are people who fell through the cracks of our healthcare system. A lot of them are very, very sick. A lot of them are even so sick that we can't take them on, need to send them to an emergency room right away. But, you know, and that is the unmet need we are currently having, and we want to help these people to get back on track and, you know, be healthy again. We were talking a lot of, you know, the aspect of accessibility, and I think that's really important, because at the end of the day, what we do is not a rocket science. We just puzzle together and make it a really good experience. The other thing that we also solve is, you know, I think that we have really great medications out there. We have great services. We have good technologies, but they don't really need to be super expensive. When we are smart, we can find ways to be very, very efficient and treat people with diabetes very efficient, provide a great service, but do it at a reasonable cost. And that's also something we try to do, because we think that getting access also means, you know, getting access to something that in the current, at the moment, we are still a cash pay service. So we start at only $25. It's not a lot of money, but at least when you compare it to what you would usually pay, you know, just to see your doctor and get a prescription, for example, you know.
I want to return to something you said in terms of like entrepreneurism or serial entrepreneurism. And let's put that aside, but the importance of entrepreneurism. I wrote, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago, that I felt that entrepreneurs were really the laboratory for larger companies that probably they would never get the idea off the ground. They could never get out of their own way. So in terms of, let's say, My Sugar being acquired by Roche, the service, really the public health service that you and your colleagues provided society, was you created a successful business environment that allowed a mega global company to say, these folks have made it work. It provides added value. It lights the path. We'll come into the category now. That we actually need successful serial entrepreneurs. And while money will certainly follow mission and should, I think that the great service that these proven entrepreneurs provide our public health system is, if you had 5 or 10 people inside a large life science company, they probably would not get the traction or voice or resources to create something new. So I just want to salute you and go back to serial entrepreneurs for a moment, because it's not about creating companies and selling them or flipping them. It is about following the passion. And actually, when you're successful and a larger enterprise steps in and says, we'd like to take this on, there is something about doing something well and then enabling it to be part of something of scale so that it actually gets greater traction. So I also wanted to ask you about payers. I often find payers should be looking at 9AM Health and just saying, totally, how do we contract with you? How do we invite our beneficiaries? They don't call them customers. How do we invite our beneficiaries to be part of the 9AM Health community? But you really should be a partner of the payers to reduce their costs.
Couldn't agree more. I hope a lot of them are listening.
but you know, I think that you're right to go after the person with diabetes as the customer. But I almost feel like, hey, CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicare Beneficiary Services, should be saying, Frank, could we work with you on the 65 plus population? Aetna, Cigna, United, Blue Cross Blue Shield should be knocking on your door saying, hey, could you be our support system for people with diabetes? It's one of the most expensive conditions going. What's the mindset there? Why doesn't that happen?
We are a very young company. And, you know, I think we will also, we are currently developing a program to be able to accept insurance, you know, and we will, you know, do these steps, you know, and also kind of want to better integrate ourselves into the payer landscape. That's a natural step we want to do also. And that is just, we need to, because at the moment, especially when we think about, you know, a cash pay price and something that is doable out of pocket for most people, we are a bit limited when it comes to our medication choices. So, and there are really great medications out there, GLP-1s, SGLT-2s, that, you know, are very, very beneficial, but are simply too expensive at the moment. So hardly anybody can afford them out of pocket. So we want to find, you know, smart ways to make them more affordable and more accessible. And the payers are certainly a part of the equation.
Just as we close off, Frank, and first of all, thank you. And again, thanks to Greg, as always, for bringing us together. What's the next big thing on the horizon for 9AM Health?
Yeah, I think, you know, the next big thing is clearly that we want to expand our formulary we want to be able to process insurance do the first steps into the employer world. So that is one thing that is strategically for us, like these are the most important steps which are on the near horizon.
I want to thank Jamie Edwards and Startup Health for introducing us. You're doing some fantastic work. I recommend to all of our listeners, visit 9AM Health's website and learn what it is to treat people who have a health concern, not as a third-party entity, as customers, as people. We're always people. We're sometimes patients. Frank, Greg, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Greg.
That is a wrap for today's broadcast. We do want to thank our listeners for tuning in and our special guest, Frank Westerman, co-founder and co-CEO of 9AM Health, a startup health portfolio company offering virtual diabetes clinic services headquartered in San Diego, California. Do follow their work on Twitter via @9am_health and on the web via www.9am.health. You can learn more about Health Unabashed on the program page at healthcarenowradio.com. We air weekdays at 10:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m., 2:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., and 11:30 p.m. Pacific. Do keep the conversation going with Gil and me on Twitter by connecting with us via @Gil_Bash, and that's B-A-S-H-E, and Greg Masters, M-P-H, and that's Greg with two G's. And do remember to tag your tweets with #HealthUnabashed. Until next time, stay unapologetically passionate about improving health.